Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
How you doing, brother?
I'm hanging in there. How about you, man?
Perfect. Good morning, everybody. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show On the Mark. Joe McGranahan is here. He's a tireless volunteer in Shamokin Dam. He's the mayor, although he does get a little stipend for that.
I do not.
I'm not paid.
No.
They don't pay you even a dime?
Not a dime.
Do you decline it, or do they just
not
pay?
No, they don't offer it.
They don't offer it. If they did.
As my wife says, you finally found a job that pays you what you're worth.
Oh, dear. Well, she's just glad you're out of the house every other night. He's also on the Pennsylvania Bar Association's Judicial Review Committee, CSVT Task Force Chair, and he has got a long resume, so we appreciate Joe McGranahan making us part of his morning routine. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar
strikingly
performer.
Handsome, too.
Argument there. Every day I look in the mirror, I think, holy smokes. And on the other side of the glass, the birthday boy is over there, Mr. Rob Centers.
Is he 28?
It's probably 40-ish, I would say, right around.
I think he's 53.
I doubt that. That's a little bit farther along
51?
Than he is.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark, but Joe is right on.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
53. Well, you don't look a day over.
I'm a Facebook friend of Rob's. I saw it on his Facebook page.
You should see him walking in Northumberland. He looks like one of those speed walkers, you know, and he's...
because I have to follow the dog
who is practically
running. Yeah.
You do have the incentive. That's the carrot. But, definitely. Well, good. Well, happy birthday, buddy. Hope you have a good day.
Yes.
What's a good birthday for Rob Center?
A day I'm still alive.
The RPG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's calendars.
There you go.
Every day has written.
Wrapped in saran wrap, or not saran wrap, but bubble wrap to keep her from falling or hurting herself.
There you go.
Every day she has written on the calendar, don't die.
Don't die.
All right. So, well, good. Well, happy birthday, Rob. I hope the day is very celebratory.
Hope you get a big cake and bring us a slice tomorrow.
That sounds like a plan.
I'll tell you what I like to do on my birthday. There's some places they give you a free cheeseburger on your birthday. That's where I go.
There's a folder in my email inbox called Restaurant Coupons. There's a lot of free stuff in there for this weekend.
For birthday,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and today, actually, Denny's, I can get a free Grand Slam.
See?
Wow. All right.
That's what I love about my birthday.
A reason to go on living.
Well, that's part of it. That's why I'm a Penn State fan. Every time they win, you get a free coffee on Monday morning.
Where?
At Dunkin' Donut.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
What if you were supporting the other team and they win?
It's a free Penn State winners promotion with Dunkin'. So I believe you have to have their rewards card, so I do have that. My lovely bride signed me up so I could get a free coffee. All right, 1-800-795-9565, not just a series of random digits I'm blurting out. It is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. We can talk about birthday greetings, Penn State wins, or, if you'd like, all the big issues of the day. We have one clipping that relates to recreational marijuana going on sale today in Massachusetts. We have the rules are now spelled out for Jim Acosta and his peers to heed when they're at a White House news conference, so we have that list in front of us. We also got Ivanka Trump has got the latest email scandal going. Now, nothing to the size of what Republicans falsely accused Hillary Clinton of, but she's using a personal email for government correspondence, which that's not a terrible thing, but then you have to open up your personal email so that searchers, you know, reporters and journalists or anybody else curious can look at your personal emails, which, of course, she would not be interested in that. So those are some of the things that you may wish to call us about.
But the biggest story of the day locally is the passing of a legend.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that one moment. 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to talk about the passing of Jesse Woodring, we would love to hear from you. A toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome to email us at onthemark.com. at KOKN.com or text us at 70236 on the mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. 82 years young, describes Jesse Woodring.
Well, he was 82, but in his thinking and his actions and his sense of humor, he was more like a 20-year-old. Jesse was one of the finest people it was ever my pleasure to know. We kind of bounced back and forth over the years, kidded each other, because when I was president of Rotary, he was my vice president. So we had lunch together, or dinner together, for a whole year every Thursday night. Then when I came on the hospital board and we coerced Jesse into coming back as chairman of the hospital board again, I served as his vice chairman during the last few terms before UPMC took it over. Jesse was a tireless worker for Sunbury. He started an image committee. He realized that the city of Sunbury, the hospital, and the school district often got a rap they didn't deserve. And he wanted to do something about that. So he put a whole group of community people together and got them working on ways to promote the positive image of the hospital, the city, and the school district. He never wavered in his commitment to the hospital, to this community, to its people. I think the biggest disappointment for me was when he chose not to run for re-election after his first term as mayor, although he did run again this past term and unfortunately didn't get the nomination and didn't go on to become mayor again. But I think he regretted not running for a second term. He was concerned about his health back then and thought maybe he better rein it in. And then, of course, his health picked up and he could have served a second term and done it with distinction as he did the first term.
Well, and I think he always thought running, being mayor, would be an extension of running businesses. So I think he had a couple of accomplishments while he was mayor, but he also had a couple of times when either council or just the slow process of governmental process and so on said no to him. And so he found that disappointing, that you could you could contact well-meaning people in Harrisburg and have them say no to a good idea when they have the money or they have the wherewithal or they have the people. So that always disappointed him. But yeah, just a super guy. I've met him 100 times at different meetings, Sunbury Revitalization Incorporated. Big believer in River Festival is, you know, sort of that image-forwarding thing.
My favorite story about him involves the remodeling of Cameron Park. And Jesse took a lot of guff from people about that because folks didn't feel the cannon should be moved. You know, remember, it was at one end of the park, he wanted to put it the other. And I think that what he did, that redoing of Cameron Park, made it much better, in my opinion. I mean, I think it's outstanding. But when people were giving Jesse a fit about that cannon, he said, well, you know, stop and think for a minute. That was a German cannon. It probably fired on our troops. But yeah, but he had that great sense of humor, and he had so much common sense. You know, you just couldn't buffalo Jesse. If he could spot,
baloney?
Bovine excrement a mile away. I mean, he just was that kind of guy. And yet, he always approached you with a sense of humor and a good spirit and a friendly word. I mean, it was just, I can't say enough about the guy. He was a dear friend. He will be sorely missed. The last time I saw him, he was trying to get out from under a work project he was involved with wrapping up, and he said to me, when I get out from under this, I'm going to give you a call and we'll go to lunch. And I'm never going to get that call now.
Well, and he sold those businesses. I think
he was wrapping up helping the people make the transition.
The Central Credit Audit and Statewide Tax Recovery businesses. And I hope the business stays as part of a positive community endeavor. Whenever we would do the Needy Family Fund, which WKOK has been part of for now over a decade, and the Daily Item's got it going for two decades, Statewide Tax Recovery and Central Credit Audit, separate companies, same set of owners, always contributed $1,000 each. And then, if and only if it didn't hit its goal at the time, the goal, as I recall, was about $65,000, and it wasn't there, Jesse wrote a check to push it over the top himself, and then that kicked in the Dagenstein Challenge Grant that they offer, and so that was another successful year. Then they upped it to $75,000, and of course, each company always donated that separate. So, very generous.
Well, and his buildings in downtown Sunbury, I mean, he bought a lot of land. I always said to Jesse that you put your money where your mouth is. I mean, he believed in Sunbury. He invested in Sunbury. He tried to an experiment I thought was great. I don't ultimately know how it panned out for him. I guess it wasn't quite as successful as he would have hoped. But he tried to restore apartment buildings in downtown Sunbury to make them nice so that people would move back into the downtown. He did that. I mean, I can tell you that when I was first came on the hospital board as vice chairman, it was to John Carpenter. And when John stepped down and retired, I would have been next in line to be chairman. But we all agreed the hospital needed somebody really powerfully related to Sunbury. And we imposed upon Jesse to come out from retirement. He was still on the board. He just wanted to be a board member. And we imposed on him to come back as chairman of the board again. And he held that post for the last few years before the hospital was sold. And he did a wonderful job. I mean, he worked tirelessly for that hospital, giving endless hours of volunteer time.
Well, and he said he had more than one opportunity that was imposed on him. Of course, he founded Central Credit and Statewide Tax Recovery, and it was purchased by his son, David. But then David passed away, and Jesse stepped up and began to run the company again.
Right.
And, of course, it's a very successful company, generous company, number of employees.
Look what he did to the station.
Good company.
Buying the old Pennsylvania Railroad station. Had to cost a fortune to fix it up, but if you've never been inside, it's absolutely beautiful what he did to it, you know. So he spent a lot of time and effort on everything involving making Sunbury a better place for all of us. And that spirit, indomitable spirit of his, will be sorely missed by all of us who knew him, loved him, and had the privilege of working with him.
Well, and he instilled that to a certain extent on his children. They're all involved in some activities. I don't think anybody in the town is as involved as Jesse was, but all of his kids, I know his daughters, they were involved in a number of things and still are. So, you know, this idea of not necessarily giving back, just being active and being part of the solution is something. You know, one daughter works at the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way, and I've seen most recently one is involved in at Geisinger and that kind of endeavor. So I just think that he was able to pass that on. So that's a fantastic legacy.
I hope the city of Sunbury is able to do something suitable in memorial for Jesse, because no one is more deserving.
Right, we were talking about Jesse Woodring. I still call him Mayor Jesse Woodring, but Mayor is almost just a little sliver of his contributions. If you'd like to weigh in on this or add a contribution or add a remark that we didn't think of course we could go on longer, feel free to do so. But Jesse Woodring died at the age of 82 last evening, surrounded by family, died peacefully. His daughter described it as just a moment that Jesse was at peace at that time. And the family valued that. He'd been in the hospital for a short time lately, but got out of the hospital and got home. But I guess they had an idea that Jesse's life would be ending soon, and family was there. So spoke to her briefly last night, and just generous of her to talk to us. You know, I know Cheryl just in passing from a number of meetings and so on. We're not personal friends, but she agreed to talk to us and give us some information. And I know she spoke to the newspaper as well, and just trying to make sure that as this information comes out, that there's just appropriate remarks and factual information, and that we get to talk about them.
Just keep Maxine and the kids in your prayers and thoughts. I'm sure it will help.
Absolutely. If you want to call us on this topic, feel free to do so. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
SMC is where you want to be for your next new F-150 and everything starting with E. Make 2018 a November to remember with savings up to $13,000 on your next new Ford F-150. Sunbury Motors has F-150s starting at $25,669. All SUVs starting with the letter E will plummet in price for SMC's November to remember. 67 Ford Escapes, 23 EcoSports, 22 Explorers, all at one location. Brand new Ford Escape starting at an unheard of $17,820. If you haven't looked into the all-new Ford EcoSport, now is the time. 2019 Ford EcoSports start at $19,880. SMC has the SUV that started it all, the Ford Explorer, for under $32,000. Hurry in now to SMC so you can show off your brand new Ford at Thanksgiving dinner or to your buddies at Deer Camp. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Welcome back to On the Mark. Joe McGranahan, Mark Lawrence here, and the new rules are in. As a journalist, I'm very interested in your take on these, Mark.
So this is how Matt Cotrillo has to behave at the Northumberland County Commissioner
meeting?
No,
this is if he winds up getting a hard pass to the White House, how he has to behave.
Okay. What's a hard pass?
I don't know, but it sounds difficult to get. Maybe that's why they call it a hard pass.
I think it's the pass that they wear, but it allows you freer access within the White House.
Actually, it provides expedited access to the White House grounds.
Well,
because
you're
certified as
someone.
So
you don't get searched as much or whatever.
Right. Anyhow, the new rules for these press meetings or press briefings, a journalist called upon to ask a question will ask a single question and then will yield the floor to other journalists. At the discretion of the president or other White House official taking questions, a follow-up question or questions may be permitted. And where a follow-up has been allowed and asked, the questioner will then yield the floor. Yielding the floor includes, when applicable, physically surrendering the microphone to White House staff for use by the next questioner, and failure to abide by any of the rules may result in suspension or revocation of the journalist's hard pass. Now, those seem like reasonable things to me, but the White House regretted having to enact them because there had been a long-standing set of norms that people used and behaved, but Acosta couldn't abide by them. You know, he had to keep on yelling even after the president said, I'm done, I'm moving on.
Well, and Acosta's questions weren't really questions like, what are we doing, or what's the U.S.?
Well, they were more like accusations.
Right. Well, they wanted to know the difference between why the Trump administration during the political campaign said that it was an invasion, and now the administration calls it a migrant caravan, which is the more conventional term. And when Trump said he's not going to answer that reason, of course, you heard the follow-up. He wanted the follow-up, wouldn't relinquish the mic. Got about three or four follow-up inquiries there. I'm not sure he necessarily got any question, but he irritated the president to the point that he walked away from the podium and wouldn't answer any further questions. He was also walking in the broad general direction of Acosta, so I think he might have accosted Acosta given the opportunity, but we don't know that.
Well, the CNN did drop its lawsuit now. I'm sorry they did, because I think they would have lost it. You know, the judge ruled on the Fifth Amendment right to due process, that he didn't have due process.
Okay.
That surprised me, because does everybody get due process for everything? I mean, I don't think Judge Kavanaugh got due process.
So when you were the COO here and I'd go in your office and complain about the temperature in the newsroom and you'd kick me out of the office, I could have a redress grievance hearing because you didn't have due process before you kicked me out of your office.
I think if I fired you for coming in and asking me, you could claim you didn't have due process, but...
Well, that's official stuff, but
in this case,
I just meant casually.
Well, in this case, I don't see that the President of the United States, if I'm taking questions, don't I have the right to set the ground rules? In other words, if you invite me to come on this program as a guest, and I say, Mark, I don't want to talk about X, Y, or Z, would you honor that request?
Well, as it turns out, it isn't the president's news conference. It is a White House news conference owned by the people and the country, and it's the White House press briefing
room. But the president isn't compelled to give them.
The president is just, well, that's true. I mean, no argument there. I mean, he could cut off the media, or he could just make sure that only certain people are there through timing, you know, just invite certain people into the Oval Office and talk to them. You know, there's no such rules that would apply there. But I think the White House press briefing room and the White House briefings, it's the people's house, and the president is who the president is, and their decorum is incidental. And the reporters, of course, they evolve over time. It's kind of funny that you're arguing about proper decorum and Donald Trump is the person setting the standard.
I believe there's a disconnect there.
He's a very bad man. Your family's bad, too. I can't understand you. You have a foreign accent. Next person, please.
You sound like the old Seinfeld episode where Babu was telling him, you're a very bad man, Jerry, a very bad man.
You're a very bad man, Mr. Trump. So, it's funny that President Trump would be the one that be setting the bar for decorum.
But he has that right. In other words, if you're asking me questions, I have a right to demand a certain code of conduct from you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you start belittling me or calling me names, am I supposed to stand there and take it? And if I say to you, Mark, I'm done answering your question, I've answered it, I'm moving on, giving other people a chance, and you keep screaming at me.
I stand up and ask for more.
You know, do I have a right to shut you down?
Well, and I think, and that is, I think the answer is yes to that. And I think the president has the opportunity to call on other people, to ask his intern to take the mic and move it to another reporter and to do that. But I think you also have this idea that for some reason, the White House procedures are governed by White House policy, and it isn't just the president's whim. Now, the president, of course, fortunately, in this case, is clarifying what the rules are. So I think that will help. You know, even if Jim Acosta gets called on, he has to stay in compliance with these or lose his White House pass, and they'll have a hearing on his behalf before
well,
he loses
file,
it.
They'll file another lawsuit, I'm sure. But I think that the do you think, let me ask you this then, does the president have the right to set these rules?
I think he does. Even in writing, which he does, which he has done, or just in behavior, you know, he, even though Jim Acosta had the mic and was re-asking the same question over and then a follow-up question, then a follow-up question, it doesn't mean that he has to demand the president. He does have the mic, but they can turn the mic off and come up with a different mic, you know, to hand to
Not
the president.
Not if he's still
can
there
move
yelling.
On to people.
He was like 2 feet in front of the president, and he's standing
no,
there
he
yelling.
Wasn't.
Yes, he was.
10 feet away.
He's look at the video.
He wasn't 2 feet away. Come on.
He was very, very close.
1-800-795-9565. What's the difference between the distance between the president and Acosta?
Well, philosophically, about 1 million miles.
All right, we got one call coming in, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. And one of our listeners says Acosta has no Fifth Amendment rights to due process when losing a press pass. That would be like troublemakers thrown out of an amusement park or theater or any other public event suing because they didn't receive due process.
Well, that's a good point.
But not really, because the theaters of the world and amusement parks aren't run by the U.S. government. This is the government, and the government apparently.
Process doesn't just cover government functions, it covers everything.
Well, the president, what the president wants and what due process requires are just two different things. Dan, you're on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hello there. I have a question for Jill. So you think freedom of speech means that the president can dictate what can be asked and how it's asked somehow?
Not what, but how.
What's that?
Not what, but how. He didn't dictate what was asked. He dictated how it was asked. And he has every right to do that.
Do you think it's up to the president to decide what is free speech?
No, that's not free speech.
Or is this our country?
He didn't win this on the free speech issue, Than. He won it. The judge ruled on due process, not on free speech. There's no abridgment of free speech.
Is it up to the president to decide what is free speech?
No, it's up to the president to decide the form and format under which he will answer questions.
And if he doesn't like it, he can just throw people out.
He can throw people out?
Joe, that's not America, not that I know of.
Not throw people out. He didn't throw him out. He suspended his press pass. He didn't cut out everybody.
Listen
for a minute. There were 100 other reporters in that room. He didn't throw them out. He answered their questions. He stayed there. He took action against one reporter who refused to conform to the norms that have governed these press conferences for years.
Joe, I just don't understand how you can throw freedom of speech under the bus that you did this kind of work all of your life.
This isn't throwing freedom of speech under the bus.
It is our house. It's not his. We deserve to know what he's doing. He works for us. Joe, is there anything wrong with that statement?
No, not a thing. But you have to do it under the rules and format set for those types of things. These rules have evolved over a long period of time, and everybody else conformed to them except Mr. Acosta, who feels he's above the law.
And the President of the United States, who treats people like dirt.
That's got nothing to do with this issue, Than.
Special treatment.
That has nothing to do with this issue. He could treat people like they were princes, and it would be irrelevant to the issue of whether or not somebody can disrupt a presidential press conference with impunity.
Well, fortunately, a lot of us believe we own the White House, and we will be asking the questions that are tough. I know I told you this before.
So you can't answer. You can't answer. Ask a tough question without being rude and insensitive to others.
Well, it may be rude to you, but it's good reporting to some of us.
So if all of the reporters in that room stood up and started screaming and wouldn't yield the floor and demanded their questions be asked, you'd be okay with that.
And Joe, I think what you see here is the White House is interfering with the free flow of ideas. Not that Jim Acosta's free speech rights are infringed upon, but freedom of the press means that the onerous government can't stand in the way of the free press. And, of course, barring them from a press conference would do that. Go ahead, Than. I think I interrupted you.
You didn't bar them. I mean, bar band one.
All I was going to say was, if we go, and I know for some reason, Joe, you allow this man to be the role model for our children. I can't understand that, but that's up to you. He has the worst demeanor of any president that I am aware of, who being a historian who seems to forget a lot of stuff, might have a president that was more, let's say, unfriendly to his constituents. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening, Than. Always glad to have you on board, Than Mitchell, our occasional co-host and ultra-liberal, free-thinking, Quaker-believing good man up in Winfield.
And distorter of occasional facts.
And you call him a windbag. That's so wrong.
I didn't call him that.
Not today. You're listening to On the Mark on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. WKOK News time, it is 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is with us. Rob Center, fabulous producer. Clacker in chief, Matt Cotrillo, is just here. He's working on a story about the Cassini toy drive is underway in Northumberland. So we'll be broadcasting that story in the hours ahead. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Let's talk about some people at the hometown pharmacies. Terry, Tyler, Steve, Kathy, Jennifer, Brad. These are people you'll want to know because they super serve their customers and they are the leaders of an organization and business in these communities that make things happen. Terry's out at Shade Mountain Pharmacy on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills. Tyler's at the Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in downtown Mifflinburg. Steve's at the Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street in Northumberland. Kathy's at the Danville Pharmacy on Mill Street in Danville. Jennifer's at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. Brad's at the Lewisburg Pharmacy on 2nd Street, and they are the owners that make the events and the occurrences and the wisdom and the fast lines and the smart work and the super service and the deliveries and the drug tank backpacks, you name it. These are the men and women that make personalized service happen. So they do not treat you like a number, like you're at a big box store and nobody cares. No, absolutely not. These are people who care, and they would just love for you to visit your hometown pharmacies. And we thank them for their sponsorship, and we hope that you will patronize them. Good local business people. You can email us throughout our show at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. We are talking about Jim Acosta. The individual is now let back in the White House. The White House has new onerous rules that reporters must stay in compliance with, but the president still doesn't get it, doesn't realize that it's the people's house, still thinks it's his private hall for him to do whatever he wants, and he can interfere with the press however he wishes to.
Editorializing again.
We have some... this is an opinion show, Joe, okay?
Well, I don't like your opinions.
Well, that much has been made painfully obvious over the 13-plus years that we've done this show. Okay. News headlines. As we mentioned earlier, he loved Sunbury. You can say that about my dad for sure, unquote. So said Cheryl Mertz last night, speaking of her father, Jesse Woodring, age 82, who died earlier in the evening. Jesse Woodring was a businessman, property owner, community leader, and active volunteer in a number of endeavors. He worked tirelessly for decades, working to better the city, especially appreciated and loved the Sunbury Community Hospital. He founded Central Credit Audit and Statewide Tax Recovery, two businesses he's since sold that were located in the former rail station in Sunbury. They still are. It's called Woodring Station now. He did seek re-election in the last mayoral election. He was the mayor of Sunbury from 2006 to 2009, and he's survived by his wife, Maxine, daughter Cheryl Mertz of Sunbury, Karen Michaels, and April Trago, and along with her son, Donald, and a late son, David, who died three years ago or so. Funeral arrangements not yet complete for Jesse Woodring. Last week's unexpectedly strong snowstorm is still having an effect in areas of western Pennsylvania. Thousands of residents in Butler and Armstrong counties are still without power after the storm powered through the region last Thursday and Friday. The Tribune Review reports most customers in those areas had power restored by Sunday night or Monday morning, but several thousand were still waiting to hear Monday when their electricity will be restored. The snow had turned into rain overnight, then froze and knocked down trees and power lines throughout that area. The outages forced the Butler Area School District to cancel school again on this day. As you heard on CBS, two legal recreational marijuana sales are underway in Massachusetts. Town and store officials in Massachusetts are expecting this historic day to be met with historic crowds. Quote, "We're prepared for thousands," says Sam Barber, the president of Cultivate, said during a press conference Monday morning. Under Massachusetts state law, it's illegal for anyone under the age of 21 to purchase or consume marijuana. You have to have a government-issued ID to show that you are of legal age. As for being from out of state, the dispensaries say that there are no restrictions on out-of-state residents coming to Massachusetts to buy marijuana, but they do ask customers to follow the rules. No consuming marijuana in public, no consuming marijuana in your car, no driving under the influence of marijuana. You cannot transport marijuana across state lines. So if you're from out of state, you can buy the marijuana there, but you can't move one inch once you get out the door. You can't smoke it, drink it, enjoy it, take it anywhere. You just have to hold on to it and stay there. Anyway, since it'll be likely years before social consumption establishments such as cannabis cafes crop up in Massachusetts, out-of-state customers will probably have to find a pot-friendly rental or a local friend or relative's house to legally consume their purchase. One thing's for sure, they cannot take it home to Pennsylvania. And Joe's least favorite band, the Rolling Stones, is going to do another tour. The band has a 13-show leg to its No Filter tour. Starts spring of 2019 and will visit Philadelphia on June 4th at Lincoln Financial Field. For the past few years, the legendary band has played mostly in Europe, but Mick Jagger says it's time to go back to the USA. Tickets go on sale November 30th. I'm told by smart people who buy tickets for this kind of thing, tickets will be a couple of $200 to $300
apiece. They won't be serving beer there. They'll be serving Geritol.
Oh, brother. All right. Thank you for that, Joe. All right. Jim Acosta, should he be kicked out?
Well, we have an email here that says, Than is incapable of making an impartial observation of the behavior of anyone, let alone the president. His temperament on the air is hardly befitting any Quaker that I have ever known or heard of before. He is simply another self-righteous sore loser. But by all means, let WKOK give him all the time he needs to destroy any vestige of credibility the left might still abrogate to itself.
That's unfair. That's a bad email. First of all, I called him the Quaker.
He calls himself one.
No, I don't believe so. Than doesn't call himself that. I think the part of the piety of being a good Quaker is you don't wear it like a badge like Christians do. We got another email, and then we got Chris.
I think Than is very, very much Quaker-like, in my opinion.
Some days, yes. But it's not a disparaging remark.
No, I don't mean it that
way. It's not meant
way.
To compare.
He's a very peace-loving person, and he would give you the shirt off his back. I may not agree with him politically, but he is a fine man.
I'm still on the fan with no shirt image. Thank you, sir. Anyway, go ahead. Email.
In the first place, I would much prefer for the president to say what he came into the podium to say without the press there. Who cares what they think? I'm sure we will hear about it in the Daily Rag or on CNN. Just because it's called a press conference, I think it should not include disruptors and question askers. I tune in to hear what the duly elected president has to say about any subject. And I don't care what that far-left hack Than Mitchell thinks on any subject. This is come down on Than Day.
Hey, freedom sucks. People don't like it.
One would think he is an authority on about everything. I love to hear our president speak, and once again, I think it should be him in front of the camera or Sarah Sanders if it's her time to present information to the American public, with no interference from members of the press who obviously are just there to cause commotion. They can sit back in their offices and listen just like the rest of us. What information they care to twist will be done anyway, but at least it gives a full opportunity for the man we elected to the highest office of our nation to speak to us, the American people. We didn't elect or ask for whatever those news people have to say or criticize.
Well, it's a good email. And actually, what she's describing does occur. Usually, Sarah Sanders or the president have a brief presentation at the beginning. And then, of course, then, as our letter writer points out, all heck breaks loose because the reporters get involved. All right, we got calls coming in. We got calls waiting, so we'll start out with Chris. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I think Joe doesn't remember that incident very well. I think he should go, and I'll give him a homework assignment to go and look at the whole question-answer thing again.
I was watching it. I saw it live.
I know, but you don't remember it very well.
I think I remember it exceptionally
well.
There was
no screaming, and there was really no shouting.
No, I didn't say there was. I said, should we allow them to scream and shout their questions after they've been told to stop?
You accused Acosta of screaming and shouting at the president.
Well, he did. He wouldn't shut up. So what do you call that? When someone tells you you're done and you keep on going, what do you call that?
I call that standard procedure at the press conferences. What do you call it when the president has to insult the reporter and the company he works for before he takes your question?
I don't condone that. I don't think that has any place in the White House either.
Let's hear some criticism. What are you going to do about keeping the president from doing that? Make rules?
Well, what am I going to do? If you participate in a press conference called by me, you're pretty much at my mercy. Because if you want me to answer your questions, you have to do it in a format I'll accept.
It's a press conference of the White House. He can always turn around and walk away, can he?
He can. And maybe sometimes he should.
Well, the point is there was no shouting. There was no screaming.
I think there was shouting.
Go and listen to it.
Acosta didn't raise his voice?
There wasn't.
Acosta raised his voice because the president was trying to go on to someone else, and he was determined to get his question answered.
He never was talking less loud than the president was. More loudly than the president was.
Well, the president had to speak more loudly because Acosta wouldn't shut up.
All right, moving on.
Go and look at it again, Joe. You'll find out you're wrong.
Okay.
No, yes. I don't think I will, but go ahead.
And the other thing is that the president actually answered the questions, so it's actually worked. And he refused to answer it the first time.
Well,
he
then
didn't
why
give an answer to the question the first time.
Then why wouldn't Acosta give up the microphone when the president told him he was done? Now, you must have seen that part. You're done.
I did see that part, and that's the only violation of protocol that happened. And the protocol is pretty ambiguous on that because that's happened regularly.
Not any longer.
With Obama and other presidents.
Not any longer, it won't be. Did you see the video, by the way?
No, and that's not a good thing.
Did you see the video?
And that's not a good thing.
Okay, did you see the video of President Obama ejecting someone from one of his press events?
Yeah, well, there you go with misinformation again, because that was not a press conference. That was a speech that Obama was giving that was interrupted by a shouter from the back.
He was taking questions.
There was no press conference involved in that.
He was taking questions.
No,
that's not a press conference. It's still a private event.
No, he wasn't. But he did eject. It was not a press conference. It was a speech.
But he did eject someone.
And it wasn't a press conference. It wasn't a White House press conference.
It was the President of the United States. That was Than's argument, that he works for us.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
Than's
that
argument
at all.
Was that the President of the United States works for us, and if we want to yell at him and we want to demand he answer questions, that's our right. He's our employee.
I didn't say they should be yelling at him. I said that Obama was being interrupted in a speech.
And the guy was yelling at him.
It wasn't a press conference.
No, but he's still the President of the United States. He works for us.
It was not a press conference.
But does that matter if he's the President of the United States?
Well, you just said it was a press conference.
All right, if he's the President of the United States and he works for us, this is Than's argument, not mine.
If somebody in the back room is yelling, who doesn't even have a microphone, is yelling to disrupt the President's speech... Yes.
But the word is disrupt. The word is disrupt. If he's disrupting a press conference, if he's disrupting a speech.
He wasn't disrupting a press conference.
No, I'm talking about Jim Acosta. If he's disrupting it when he refuses.
Yes, that's what I was talking about.
All right, hold on, Chris. Hold on. Go ahead and wrap up in about 20 seconds. We got another caller waiting.
Well, the whole thing is tempest in a teapot detracting from the real question about what Trump was doing in the whole situation with the calling an invasion, sending troops down there to do nothing, has now sent them home again. Nothing was done. It was using the army for a political as a political front, which is a disgusting thing for a president to be doing.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. One caller waiting, one coming in. Good morning, Peggy. You're on the mark.
Oh, good morning, Mark. I had to pull over so I'd stay in range. It sounds like it's Strothan. Can you hear me?
Yep, absolutely. You sound good.
Okay. It sounds like it's Strothan under the bus day, so I want to call and say, for one, that Than is my friend. Than is a free thinker, and I'm thankful that we live in a country where free thought is allowed, where we can express our opinions and walk away and still be friends. Because, Joe, I don't agree with you about everything, but we're still great friends. And, Mark, I just adore you, and I think that I appreciate that you have to moderate some of this stuff, because I know you have an opinion, but you got to get in the middle. And
well, I say we're just friends, but we're just friends, and you adore Mark. Well, I'm offended.
You're easily offended. You're
now,
a snowflake.
Right off, there you go, Joe. Anyway, I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much.
Same to you, Peg.
I want Than, you know, this is Peggy Chamberlain Roop, and I want everybody to know that Than is my friend.
I think he's my friend, too.
And I am so grateful to have him as my friend. So when you talk about other people, let's be mindful of their feelings when we, you know, a kinder, gentler America won't hurt anyone.
No.
It would be perfect. But
no.
Then, Mark, you call that your happy place. What do you call that?
No, Marktopia.
It might hurt, Peg, because then we wouldn't get the tough questions answered. You're flying in the face of Than's entire argument.
We don't need to do name-calling of Than while we're on the show. He's a good egg.
Well, I'm not calling Than any names. I think Than's a great guy.
No, but you don't hesitate to read the name caller's emails.
Well, what am I supposed to do? This is an opinion program, as you just told me. I'm reading people's opinions. You're saying if you read them, you'd cut them out?
Yeah, but let's not call Than on everything.
I'm not. You know? I didn't call him on anything. I just argue with him.
Thank you so much, Peggy.
Okay.
Really
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, all of you.
You too, Peggy Chamberlain Roop.
We lost our other caller.
We'll wait for that person to call back.
Okay.
All right, we have an open line, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about Than Mitchell. Is he a good egg or is he a sore loser, as one of our listeners insisted on saying, and Joe insisted on reading? 1-800.
You tell me to read those things.
Not verbatim. If somebody's just doing name calling, you don't
it
have to read
It wasn't name
that.
Calling. It was part of a larger context, wasn't
no,
it?
No, it wasn't. It was just a random flip remark about my friend. 1-800-795-9565. We got texts and emails, but we'd want callers. 1-800-795-9565. The email in basket is sponsored by the Hometown Pharmacies.
Hometown Pharmacies, helping to keep you and your whole family healthy every season, every day.
Hello, this is Jennifer from the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. As the colder weather sets in, 'tis not only the holiday season that's approaching. Cold, flu, and pneumonia season will soon be upon us as well. The Bloomsburg Medicine Shop can vaccinate your whole family against some of the most common strains of the flu, pneumonia vaccine, vaccines are important for adults age 65 and older, and we can help with that too. It doesn't take long, and it's one of the easiest things you can do to help keep everyone well. If you do find yourself under the weather, we'll fill your prescriptions fast and deliver them too. We are thankful for you, our customers, each and every day.
Now that's the way it should be. Your hometown pharmacy family taking care of your family. Simple as that. Hometown Pharmacies in Lewisburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland, Mifflinburg, Danville, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street in Bloomsburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. We have open phones, 1-800-795-9565. We were talking about Jim Acosta, but now we're talking about Dan Mitchell.
You're throwing me under the bus saying I shouldn't read comments people send in.
I think some of the letters
And you're the one that told me to read it.
I know.
You put it up on the screen and say, read that.
Well, okay, Joe, go jump off of Blue Hill.
I will.
Will you? Okay, thank you.
Anyway, Margaret jumps in to clarify. Than always says that he was raised Quaker. Of course, I'm a big Than Mitchell fan, although some may say I'm biased, perhaps. Those of us who know him well know him to be a good man, a man of peace, with a strong moral compass. I have doubt about the moral compass of the emails that smeared Than. Signed, Margaret.
I agree with that. Thank you.
I agree with Margaret's comments. Than is a good man, a man of peace, and he does have a strong moral compass. But politically, he's wrong.
I don't think so.
As he thinks I am.
Do we want this, or is that just for us?
I misread one of our comments, and you don't want me to read this again, but I used the word abrogate instead of arrogate in reading the reply, and the writer reminded me that I made a mistake.
Okay. To that end, these go from the top to the bottom, and now there's another. Oh, this starts here, and down.
The troops on the border was not a stunt, but a necessary deterrent. The engineer units fortified the border barriers with razor wire and provided spotters on overwatch in support of the Border Patrol. Anyone that tries to cross the fortified barriers will not have a good day, as the razor wire will cut them.
Slice the crossers
like an onion.
All right, and then the rest...
Was interesting. One, two, and three. Okay.
Right, and the rest go down in order.
Carl Bernstein feels there should be no cameras in the White House briefings or news conference, and the news media should edit what they feel the people need to know. That is reminiscent of Pravda and the Soviet Union, other public events suing because they didn't receive due process. Did we read that one?
Oh, okay. Actually, that started next to the bottom
right
here,
okay.
And then it goes here.
Okay. Acosta has no Fifth Amendment right to due process when losing press passes.
Uh-oh. That didn't help matters. There you go.
No, it didn't help them at all. Thank you. Mark is playing games with
the computer refreshed on its own.
Acosta has no Fifth Amendment rights to due process when losing press passes. That would be like troublemakers. Oh, we did read that. Thrown out of an amusement park or theater.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we did.
It came through again.
The
trouble, folks, is that the text machine sends the texts in the order in which they arrive here. But so the beginning of a message comes first, and then the end comes in on a separate separate text. So they're not in order. And if it's three steps long, they're way out of order.
Well, I didn't get a chance to finish my comment to Chris because you gave him the final 30 seconds. But I think it was wrong, whether it was a speech or a press conference or whether he was taking questions or not. It was wrong for somebody to scream while President Obama was talking. It was just as wrong for Jim Acosta to do the same thing. And I still think he was yelling. I won't say he was screaming. He was yelling. He raised his voice to try to make the president force the president to answer his question. I don't think you behave that way around the president of the United States. You can ask a tough question and do it in a professional manner. And if you don't get an answer, my lead story tonight would be at today's press conference, I asked the president how he could possibly characterize the caravan headed to the United States as an invasion, and he refused to answer my question.
Well, and I think really what it is, I think we dissected what happened that day satisfactorily, but I do think that what the president is interested in doing is interfering with the freedom of the press. He's interested in controlling the press, controlling the agenda, controlling the topic, controlling the questions.
I think every president is, Mark. Every president wants to spin whatever's
happening
in their
benefit.
So
he's not going to get a free ride from me. His main interest is arrogating, not abrogating. All right?
Fair enough.
Thank you. Than, thanks for calling back. You get a minute.
Okay. Hey, thanks. And thank you, Mark, for standing up for me and Peggy. But, I don't know how to say this exactly, but I'm not particularly put off by what people say. I prefer not to be protected. I mean, obviously, if somebody is coming after me, I might argue. But I prefer not to be protected. I say the things I say, understanding the feedback. And when folks I really like and would like to not upset say that I am a bag of excrement, I consider the fact that they, at the moment, are truly upset about something. And, by the way, I've always said, Mark, that I was raised Catholic. I'm not Catholic. My wife was raised Catholic. I was raised Quaker. I can never remember how I was raised.
Okay, well,
but that doesn't make any difference.
I think you're very Quaker-like.
I wasn't raised by God.
You're very Quaker-like, but I wouldn't call you very Catholic-like.
Oh, good. Thank you very much.
That works out.
Better about the world.
Thank you, Than. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you, Than.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. I'll use this quick opportunity for folks to call in. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. Do as I do. Go see Ernie or Austin over the Kia dealership or the rest of the crew on 4th Street and Sunbury, and they got a lot of fantastic salespeople, and they would just love to talk to you. They sell Ford cars and trucks, great big trucks, little car, little Fords of all shapes and sizes. They got economical ones. They got ones with a high profile that go over snowbanks. They got great ones that will take you 80,000 miles without a checkup, and they would just love to make sure that you're in such a vehicle. Hyundai is fabulous. So is Kia. And these are great economical cars, are wonderful value, fantastic owner loyalty, and you'll be happy that you shop through some of the best vehicles that are for sale. And of course, Lincoln Cars and Trucks. My Lincoln Navigator pickup truck is sitting there, the black one over right by 4th Street. I'll tell you what, that is calling me. And that is the Sunbury Motor Company.
What's it saying to you, just out of curiosity? Buy me?
Ask your lovely bride. I go by and it says, ask her.
Ask her.
Ask her. Okay. So I go home and ask her the wrong question. But what I need to ask is maybe I can have that Lincoln Navigator on 4th Street in Sunbury. SunburyMotors.com. If you want to get a glimpse of it without visiting, they would just love to talk to you. Let's take a quickie break. When we come back, we got an email with the subject line Kavanaugh, related to Judge Kavanaugh, and another one, the subject line Trump. And this relates, I see the word military way throughout that, so that's a different topic. But we'll take them. 1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
SMC is where you want to be for your next new F-150 and everything starting with E. Make 2018 a November to remember with savings up to $13,000 on your next new Ford F-150. Sunbury Motors has F-150s starting at $25,669. All SUVs starting with the letter E will plummet in price for SMC's November to remember. 67 Ford Escapes, 23 EcoSports, 22 Explorers, all at one location. Brand new Ford Escapes starting at an unheard of $17,820. If you haven't looked into the all-new Ford EcoSport, now is the time. 2019 Ford EcoSports start at $19,880. SMC has the SUV that started it all, the Ford Explorer, for under $32,000. Hurry in now to SMC so you can show off your brand new Ford at Thanksgiving dinner or to your buddies at Deer Camp. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
We are talking about our president, his lack of decorum, his unprofessionality, his interest in interfering with free press. And one of our listeners sent us that note I just moved over there.
I'm to read that one first?
Yes, please.
You actually want me to read it?
It's insulting to the president. You don't want to insult anybody.
Oh, well, okay, if it's personal. I didn't realize that.
So we won't say that. We won't read that one. The next one says some nasty things about Judge Kavanaugh, so skip that one. Third one says nasty things about another president. So we're out of business, folks. We can't say anything nice about anybody, so we're not going to say anything.
God.
We're called Jiminy Crickets over there. All right. Anyone catch the impromptu speech by our president while he was visiting the fire-ravaged area of Paradise? He called the town Pleasure instead of Paradise, and a few times until people standing around him whispered the correct name of the town. Facts just don't seem to stick in his brain very well, and he readily fills in the blanks with his own made-up nonsense.
Well, I think he's got enough on his head without memorizing the names of wiped-out towns in California.
Well, I don't know, but I think the least he could do is, you know, pay tribute to the people in the town where actually
at least he was there.
He was there, yes.
CNN was making a big deal over the weekend that the president doesn't visit soldiers. That's not his shtick, so he doesn't go, you know, to war zones or anything like that and visit soldiers, which that's their prerogative to call him out on that, but I don't think that's a presidential job to go visit active duty soldiers.
So this one's taking off after me. He says, you don't think Kavanaugh got due process? The entire GOP came together to ensure he got his dream job despite yelling and professing a love of beer during his hearing. They pretended not to believe a credible sexual assault allegation so that he could be confirmed. They limited an investigation so nothing bad could come out. I'd say he got more than due process. The one who got, may I say that word?
Put upon
on due process was Dr. Ford.
I don't think we say that on WKOK.
Okay, we don't say that. Okay. Well, it's a term that's become rather generic these days, but
it's true.
We'll forget it. Let's see. And this one is...
you better read that one.
Okay. Obviously, in addition to being a self-righteous sore loser, Than also has a very thin skin because he seems to think that just what I wrote was that he was a bag of excrement. This just shows that he thinks that the only constructive criticism is that which only he doles out to the deplorables. If he had any sense of self, he would understand that he is entitled to the benefit of the doubt, but not the pass that he so desperately craves. I don't believe the writer or anybody called Than a bag of excrement. I think he was speaking about the potential to be called that. If someone would call him that, he was saying he didn't. Mm-hmm. He realized it was a momentary thing.
All right.
That's what I got out of what he said.
That would be fine. 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners sends us a note that relates to military. Go ahead.
Says, just my opinion, as a U.S. Army veteran, Southeast Asia, during early Vietnam, I just wish the president would leave well enough alone with comments about men and women that have worn the uniform, served to protect our country, retired many with 20 to 30 years. As Admiral William McRaven, a distinguished naval career, he walked the walk. To me, the president seems small-minded and petty to be critical of someone, anyone, that has a different political view from his. That doesn't make him, Trump, an expert on the military. Just my thoughts. When he had a chance to serve, he shirked his duty, his well-known bone spur deferment. Also, how did that White House decorum work out with Kanye West and his foul-mouthed love fest with the president? Well, I don't think Kanye West was screaming at the president, was he?
No, he was doing a diatribe about something. What was the topic? I don't remember the topic.
I don't know. Kanye West doesn't figure on
right,
the radar
screen.
Right, yeah,
he's not, he doesn't set the standard for anything.
And then another writer, E.B., who is always very critical of the administration, says, the Washington Post reports that Ivanka Trump used a personal, unsecured email account to conduct official White House business. Should we lock her up the way we're supposed to lock up Hillary? I say yes. Lock her up. Lock her up. And then you must also want to lock up Hillary. Let's lock them both up if they're that dumb.
All right. So let's lock up anybody. So Ivanka used an email, a personal email. You have a clipping on that?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I saw the story this morning, but I was unable to print it out. So I'm not certain. Didn't you send it out? Wasn't it on the material you sent out this morning? I wasn't able to print that out.
Yeah, it was on the long version, but not on the short version.
Okay.
I don't think, anyway.
Supposedly she used it to send people... was it government business or her business that related to the government?
I don't know. Tell you what, we're due for another break.
No, we'll ought to take it and look that story up.
All right, let's do that. 1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Should Ivanka Trump be locked up? Let us know.
SMC is where you want to be for your next new F-150 and everything starting with E. Make 2018 a November to remember with savings up to $13,000 on your next new Ford F-150. Sunbury Motors has F-150s starting at $25,669. All SUVs starting with the letter E will plummet in price for SMC's November to remember. 67 Ford Escapes, 23 EcoSports, 22 Explorers, all at one location. Brand new Ford Escapes starting at an unheard of $17,820. If you haven't looked into the all-new Ford EcoSport, now is the time. 2019 Ford EcoSports start at $19,880. SMC has the SUV that started it all, the Ford Explorer, for under $32,000. Hurry in now to SMC so you can show off your brand new Ford at Thanksgiving dinner or to your buddies at Deer Camp. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We'd love to hear from you today. 1-800-795-9565. The email onthemark@wkok.com. We have a Washington Post clipping. That was just at the top of the Gmail search.
Right. It's an article from today's Washington Post. It says, Ivanka Trump sent hundreds of emails last year to White House aides, cabinet officials, and her assistants using a personal account, many of them in violation of federal record rules, according to people familiar with the White House examination of her correspondence. White House ethics officials learned of Trump's repeated use of personal email while reviewing emails gathered last fall by five cabinet agencies to respond to a public records lawsuit. That review revealed that throughout much of 2017, she often discussed or relayed official White House business using a private email account with a domain that she shares with her husband, Jared Kushner. And it goes on to say, and we won't read the whole story, but it's basically... let me see if we can
find
the bottom.
Well, it's like Hillary all over again. She says there's no
private... Ms. Trump did not create a private server in her house or office. No classified information was ever included. The account was never transferred at Trump Organization, and no emails were ever deleted, unlike Mrs. Clinton, who deleted quite a few. Like Trump, Clinton also said she was unaware of or misunderstood the rules. However, Clinton relied solely on a private email system as Secretary of State, bypassing government servers entirely. And that's from the Washington Post, not exactly the biggest fan of the president's.
Right. So, but that's saying that there's trying to make it 100% clear that there's no...
Well, she violated the rules.
There's no comparison.
She didn't send classified information out.
So she says.
Well, so they say.
Right. Well, they didn't see all the emails. They don't know that.
Well,
the posts.
I mean, there was a review of it because of a Republic information request. I suspect that would have produced anything that was perhaps improper in nature.
She's going to have to bone up on the rules. But now this means that her private emails will be subject to checking by, records keepers, I guess. All of this has to become part of a White House record. So it's just a mistake. But whoever received the email should have said, look, I got this from, Ivanka K at gmail.com. I'm just making that up. And, that's probably
that might
something.
Be it. It's
probably something like that. But anyway, she shares it with her husband. I wonder what that means. It shares a domain.
It's a server, I guess.
Well, I don't know.
Did it say domain or server?
Yes, they share a domain.
Okay.
So, maybe they both use...
Well, then that might be Kushner.com or something
right.
like that, or .gov or whatever.
Oh, okay, just through GoDaddy or something
GoDaddy.
Else. You can start up your own email.
Right.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 if you wish to comment on Ivanka Trump doing the same thing Hillary did, only worse.
Lock her up.
Right, yeah, Joe wants to lock her up.
Well, we'll start with Hillary because she sent classified data. We lock her up. We got to lock up Ivanka, too. All right, Dick says at least twice and perhaps three times Kanye West used the F word or MF word while addressing the president in the Oval Office. It was played many times on the news networks.
Without beeping?
But he wasn't cursing at the president. He was using that. Apparently, this is the way the man speaks.
Mm-hmm.
He uses that in some of his rap songs. I mean, I've heard a couple rap songs that I would shudder to play in front of anybody.
Well,
this is apparently the way these folks speak.
These folks? You mean blacks?
No, I mean rappers.
Oh, okay. 1-800-795-9565 is our hometown pharmacies. Please call us in. Call in and set us straight. We'd love to hear from you. Let's see. We talked a little bit earlier today about recreational marijuana now available in Massachusetts. It's going to be a huge industry. Massive taxation revenue for the state instead of the taxation, you know, that money going to private dope dealers. There's not going to be more people using marijuana. It's just now they're going to use it legally, and they'll be able to get it at a dispensary.
I think we're missing the boat here in this country. I think England is trying to pass us when it comes to political correctness.
All right, PC.
Journalism professors at Leeds Trinity University in the United Kingdom have been instructed not to use certain words in case they frighten sensitive students. According to UK media reports, the use of capital letters has been banned, as well as the overuse of the words do and don't. In an internal staff memo obtained by the Express newspaper, staff are told students anxiety can lead to academic failure. Despite our best attempts to explain assessment tasks, any lack of clarity can generate anxiety and even discourage students from attempting the assessment at all. Generally, avoid using capital letters for emphasis and overuse of do and especially don't. It also urged the staff to be explicit about any inexplicitiveness in assignment requirements. Inexplicitiveness.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Be explicit.
The lack of being explicit.
Okay.
Any explicit.
So make it clear that you're not explicit.
Right.
Be very inexplicit.
And to be aware that misconceptions and misunderstandings quickly spread among students. This can lead to further confusion, and students may even then decide that the assessment is too difficult and not attempt it. The story spread quickly across the UK media as well as social media, with many members of the public slamming it as extreme political correctness and pandering to the snowflake generation.
Hmm.
So don't use those capital letters. Don't scream at the little darlings.
Funny rule. Don't use capitals and don't use do and don't. Well, then people must be, the students they're worried about must be sort of on the brink anyway. So if you tell them to don't do something, then they're going to quit.
This follows news in September when the University of Manchester Student Union made global headlines after voting to ban clapping and cheering at certain events in order to avoid triggering those with anxiety or sensory issues. Instead, students were urged to use jazz hands. What is that?
Jazz hands?
Jazz hands.
I don't know. Maybe that's clapping
is
but that snapping like, your finger.
Oh. Like that? Is that what that is?
I don't know. Where's Rob when you need him?
I don't know. But, you know, come on. These kids, they're college students and they can't take, we don't want to trigger their anxiety by telling them to do and don't do things or explaining to them something and using capital letters.
Okay, there's jazz hands at the top. You hold your hands out and you wiggle them.
That's it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of clapping.
Right. Oh, yeah, clapping
is too
sharp.
I would find that disconcerting if I were giving a speech and at the end of it people did that, or if I were playing a musical instrument and people did that. Jazz hands.
Hmm.
Have you ever done that? You and your wife go to a lot of concerts. Do you applaud or do you give people jazz hands?
We're more jazz hands.
You are?
I didn't realize there was a name for it. All right, we got one call coming in. We got one text and one email. We're kind of jumping around topics here. Let's see. Start with this one here. This is addressed to me. So read this. It says, Mark.
Unless you have access to and are able to produce the classified data that Ivanka sent, then you need to apologize on the air for your wanton and careless speculation.
That's funny. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and you don't want to throw people under the bus, but you don't mind accusing them of crimes.
All I said is that, haven't we heard that before? Remember, Hillary first said, oh, there's nothing classified, and then it turned out it was perfectly classified information.
Right.
And then now Ivanka comes along and says, oh, it's not classified. Yeah, it's all cake recipes.
And then one of our texters says, once again, the claim that Blasey Ford was a credible witness against Kavanaugh was put forth. Now that is a big pile of excrement.
Bovine excrement. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Dan's going to check in. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. why, you know, that you explained mostly the difference between Hillary's emails through her private server.
Well, that was a Washington Post article. Joe just read it.
Yeah, well, that's it. If you read Greg Jarrett's book, The Russian Hoax, he explains in there that she claims she didn't know there was classified material. And on classified emails, there was a big C on each one that was classified. And she claimed she didn't know that was classified. And that's part of the reason Comey exonerated her, because of that. And that's how she got, part of the reason she got off the hook, because Comey exonerated her, and he was for her, and he was one of the people that didn't want to see President Trump get elected. But the worst thing they ever did was cover up, and the Clintons used GPS fusion to buy this fake Steele dossier and use leaks against Trump before the election and after the election.
All right, so let's fast
forward. That's the worst thing they did.
Yeah, let's fast forward.
And I look for
what
that to be exposed, especially if they go after Trump and keep using the fake Russian and the his collusion. I expect him to declassify this stuff and let it go out. The truth will get out, and then they'll realize the real Russian cover-up was not with the President of the United States, is with the Clinton machine, Comey, the upper echelon of the Justice Department, in order to keep Trump from getting the election and then to destroy his presidency through propaganda. Still going on to this day. The fake news media is still using Russian collusion, that it really happened, and the real collusion was on the other side.
Okay, we got you.
One of these days, I hope it gets out in the public so we can have a...
Well, guess what, Dan? It just did.
Yep, and I appreciate your time. And be sure you give Rob a big cake
for his birthday. All right, we'll do.
You bet.
He won't eat much of it, though. He's slim and trim.
Him a big cake of soap. That's what we'll get.
He has to put up with me calling here about every day. That's not an easy job.
All right. Thank you so much, Dan.
He often says that, Dan.
No, he does not.
Eat more cake, guys.
Sound advice. All right. Thank you so much, Dan. Appreciate the call.
A cake of soap. Just a joke.
Speedy dialers, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
Well, you know, let's face it. I would think that Ivanka?
Mm-hmm.
She should know better. You know, frankly, she should know better than use a personal account to send anything about White House-related business.
The people receiving it. I've done this a couple times to individuals in government and civics around here. When we get an email from them, I say, this is your personal email. Please reply to me in the future in using your government, your NORICOPA or your Snyder County email. That's what you should do. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Feel free to give us a buzz. So on this topic, we're talking about Ivanka Trump's emails. Using a personal email account is not legal because it's less accountable. Plus, it is hackable, you know, as my old Hotmail would tell you anytime. You know, people can get into these servers, and then they get your email and...
Well, you remember when Bill Clinton and...
read what you're sending.
And the secretary or the attorney general met on that airplane tarmac out in the Midwest somewhere, and they would just discuss their family and golf. And other private matters, personal matters. You know, if it's strictly personal stuff, does it really matter? In other words, if I use a White House account, and a personal account of mine, and I'm associated with the White House, and I send you a note saying, Mark, today's Rob Center's birthday. Make sure you wish him a happy birthday for me if you see him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a problem?
I think that
would technically be using a personal account, and I'm working from the White House using a personal account to send a personal email to you about something that has nothing to do with government business.
Well, if it's Rob's birthday and we're at work, I think that would be considered official conversation. But if it's after hours and you're saying to me, hey, it's Rob's birthday tomorrow, let's bring in a cake, and you use you don't have a Gmail, you have a PTD account. Prologue all the way, baby.
Yep.
So I think that would be okay. Like, that shouldn't go down in the Shamokin Dam records. But if you send me a note, say, Mark, Shamokin Dam Borough Council voted to hire another police officer. The salary is this. Well, that shouldn't be sent on your private account.
Sometimes I do. I send borough, if I'm doing borough business and someone sends me a note to my house, I prefer to deal. I have two accounts. I have my borough account and I have my personal account.
All right. One of our listeners says, thank God it's Thanksgiving. Maybe we won't hear President Trump's name for a while. Frank, you got 20 seconds or 10 seconds.
Okay, on the witch hunt, the witches. Okay, we've got 19 witches in investigation, 5 are agreeing to work, and 2 witches are in jail, just so we keep track of the witch hunt.
I gotcha. Thank you so much. Well said. He did said a lot in 10 seconds. Joe, we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to have our Black Wednesday show tomorrow. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury WKOK News Time, 10 a.m. Time for Dan Patrick.